When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay. Inside the 1 o'clock hour, p.m., not a.m., k.m. in the p.m., Keith McPherson on The Fan, filling in for BT and Sal. Shout out to those guys. I'm sure they're somewhere enjoying their time, being good dads, and taking a little break before we get to NFL Week 1. I was just talking to Bogish, like, dude, the summer flies by. The NFL offseason feels like it's forever. And then it's dun-dun-dun-dun, like, so quickly, you got to get your fantasy drafts in order. So quickly, you got to figure out if you're going to the opening game, the first game, if you're staying home, what's the setup like, what's the food like. And really, in media, you have to lock in, because once football starts and baseball is getting to the postseason, like, there's no vacations, there's no leaving. I mean, you can, but who wants to miss the opportunity to talk football and baseball? I just was saying as well, I got to take off my baseball brain cap and put on my football brain cap, and I need to get into some fantasy rankings, read all the players and rankings, and cuts are happening today. I need to see who's being cut where, who's making teams, who had a good camp, you know, what rookies are going to be featured, and, you know, what you just need to know. And Tiki Barber has been out for a couple days here and there. He's got NFL stuff to do, and I saw Pat Leonard, who covers the Giants, wrote this about Tiki in the Philly Inquirer. Tiki Barber talking about the Eagles' Saquon Barkley in the Philly Inquirer. Here's Tiki's quote. He said, "He's going to be great. That's why we hate it. If he were washed, we wouldn't care. He's still in his prime, and he's going to rush for 15,000 yards, and probably 400 of those will come against us." That's Tiki Barber, who said, "You're dead to me," in reference to Saquon Barkley choosing to go take the most money and play for the Philadelphia Eagles. Tiki, I would like to counter with this. Saquon's hurt every year. He can be in his prime, but can he be on the field for all those games? I'm going to say he doesn't rush for 400 yards against you. He might miss one of those Giants games. And I'm going to say he doesn't run for 1,500 yards in that offense, because he might not be healthy, and also he might not be the focal point of that offense. There's a lot of mouths to feed down there in South Philly. There's a lot of South Jersey, Philly. I don't think Link is in South Philly. But there's a lot of mouths to feed on the Philadelphia Eagles. They just added Jahan Dotson, right? They just made a trade for Jahan Dotson. So they have three wide receivers that all are going to want the ball. A.J. Brown, of course, he's going to pout about it. I mean, they fixed up his contract situation. He's all in now. But if you remember last year, you know, he was disgruntled. He wasn't saying stuff. You know, he potentially wanted to be traded. And Devontae Smith, former Heisman Trophy winner, top draft pick, he got his money as well. You got to feed him the ball. He's going to drop the ball once a game, but you still got to target him. Jahan Dotson, who I mentioned, Dallas Goedert, he's healthy. That's an easy throw for Jalen Hurts, who... Jalen Hurts, I was skeptical of. I gave him some respect, but I still am skeptical of him throwing the ball. I'm not saying he can't throw the ball. I'm just saying I don't know if he can consistently throw the ball down the field. He's a tush-push guy, and he's also, you know, an injury-prone guy. Jalen Hurts, he's hurt a lot. It's going to hurt. He's going to have an ankle, a knee, a shoulder, something, and they have no backup quarterback down there. I was hoping my guy Kenny Pickett, pride of Ocean Township, really took the reins as QB2, but he had a shaky preseason. They're talking about Tanner McKee being the guy down there. The Eagles should run away with the division. I'm not sure what the Giants are going to be when we're talking about not having quarterbacks. Tommy DeVito, you know, there were people calling for Tommy DeVito to be the starting quarterback over Daniel Jones. That's definitely not happening. Daniel Jones is your QB1. You paid $5 million for Drew Lock to be QB2. I think there's a good chance we see Drew Lock, but like Drew Lock, we haven't been able to see in the pro. He got hurt first game of the preseason. We haven't been able to see him. It's been Tommy DeVito. I'm trying to find it now, Hoff, if you can, you know, reference the reporter during the break. Hoff brought something to my attention. Okay, I think I have it now, about the quarterback room and how, you know, there was a rule that said you could hold, here it is, Tom Pelissero. I got it, Hoff. Important to note, as teams construct their initial 53-man rosters, NFL teams were informed that the NFLPA vetoed the revised emergency third quarterback rule that would have allowed teams to elevate a bona fide QB from the practice squad an unlimited number of times. So the rule reverted to the 2023 version, which says the emergency third quarterback must be on the 53-man roster. So think about that. I mean, you're going to carry three quarterbacks in the NFL? I don't know. I mean, the Jets are going to carry two. There's not really, I mean, in between Martinez, Peasley, Travis, and whatever happens with those guys, happens with those guys. Travis, I think they'll have an injury restriction on or something, but with the Giants, the two quarterbacks they're going to carry are Daniel Jones and Drew Lock. Daniel Jones, who's coming off an ACL, very injury prone, and Tommy DeVito, who is a fan favorite, very popular. I don't know if, like, he sticks around. If you put him on the, you know, waivers, practice squad waivers, like, somebody's going to come calling for Tommy DeVito's services, and he might have to take the opportunity that's best for his career. 888-808-1019, mixing in some football conversation as my time is running out, but I'm still going to take the calls from my Yankee fans. Let's get back to the Yankee conversation, and I'll keep sprinkling in stuff from the Giants, the Jets, and the NFL. Have you guys watched Hard Knocks? I just watched the third episode of Hard Knocks on the plane last night coming back from Atlanta. And I mean, I like Caleb Williams, and I like this new-look Bears offense and what they could potentially be. I'm so excited for the NFL to start. I can't wait to have my fantasy team, have my parlay set up, and find a spot on the couch and not move for 7 hours of commercial-free football. But back to the baseball, keeping my baseball brain cap on. Mikey's in Maho Pack. Mikey, you're on the fan. Go for it.
Hey, what's going on, man? Long-time listener, first-time caller. How you doing?
Oh, nice. I'm good. Thanks for making your first call to me and my show. Filling in on no, the BT
yeah,
South
too,
show.
Man, so. No, you're great to listen to. I always appreciate your show. Got a question about Glaber. I believe this is his contract year, right?
Yeah, this is it. Not a great contract year, but he can make it greater. He's got 2 months to really cap it off.
Well, I mean, if he's playing like he did in 2019, you know, hell yeah, I'll give him a contract. But, you know, I feel like I'm giving up on him. You know, it's like Rick Cabrera or Peraza be a second baseman and one of them play third. And, you know, I think we have to cut ties with Glaber. What do you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That decision was made when they had to bench him. That decision was made months ago. Like, there's really nothing that he can do the rest of the way that I think the Yankees offer him. Like, he's going to get an offer from some small market team, and it's going to be an offer that the Yankees wouldn't even think about, especially if they got to pay $600 million to Juan Soto. That ship has sailed. It's done. I just hope that he goes out on top. I hope that he goes out being a leadoff hitter, a good defender, a crucial part of this Yankees run to the Fall Classic.
Absolutely. And, you know, he cost him so many games last year, too, you know, defensively. You know, I mean, I remember that game in Detroit where he botched up the double play
that
ended the game. And, you know,
he did a similar thing against the Cubs. I always remember that Cubs game. He had a tailor-made double play. And it's like, come on, bro, that ended up giving them the game and series.
And what about that little throw in from left field where he just nonchalantly tried to field it?
Running into outs against the Mariners with Luis Castillo on the mound. I don't know if he didn't know how many outs there were. Just was in outer space. We've seen it too much. The fact that we can recall too many times not hustling against the Mets, too many times not knowing how many outs there were, not making a good throw from second, not fielding the ball. That's it for Gleyber Torres. Thanks for the call, Mike. 888-808-1019. You know, when we talk about contract years and we talk about prove it years and guys going after their money, I mean, it's so different, right? We looked at Judge, and we said, man, Judge had the greatest year of all time. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody can do that, even in football. You know, the bet on yourself thing, like, there's things that you can't control. Look at Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso's had an all right year. He hasn't had a banner contract year. You know, but guys, that's it. Guys are going to be elsewhere. That's why I say for the Yankees – it's so important for these guys that are in their last days and weeks and 2 months here of being a New York Yankee. Lock in. This is it. Get it done. Let's go to Tony up in the BX on the Fan. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Keith. I just want to thank you for bringing it. You made this hour that I've been listening. Awesome. First time in forever. I just want to bring up a couple of points, and I'll let you go. You were talking about Rodon and Cortez, who should start. I got to be honest with you. They're both the same in one. They can throw a gem or they can lay an egg.
Facts.
It's going to be up to the manager to pull them. You know, it's going to be up to the manager to pull them early,
mm-hmm.
whoever they pick to start in the playoffs. Also, we're just going to have to really score runs in the playoff. I feel the pitching's going to be good enough, but if we don't score runs, we're not going to do it. The big three are going to have to put up. And about Torres, he has to go. He's very, how can I put it, very nonchalant. I'm tired of watching him, not giving it 100%. He got to go. And as far as Soto goes, he's the real deal. I thought I would never say that. But you know what? Now that he's a Yankee and I've been following him, this guy's the real deal. Let him get his money. And I don't think Judge is going to have a problem with it because you know what? Judge wants to win. With Soto on that team, I think there's going to be a lot of winning to be done over the years. Listen, I'll let you go. Keep up the excellent job. You rock.
Thanks for the call, Tony. Yeah, going back to what you said about Cortez and Rodon, you could hate those guys one game. You could love the guy the next. You could be in one game like, wow, what is Rodon doing today? Or what is Nestor on? And then the next time you see him, it's like, yo, get them off the mound. Enough already. They can't. They're giving it up. So the thought of that happening in October, I don't know. It can't happen. So let's keep going. Let's see how they finish the year. You know, Rodon put together four good starts, and he couldn't get out of the third or fourth inning against the Tigers. And he bounced back with his start against the Rockies, but Nestor put together back-to-back good starts. He's got to have another good one tonight. Reminder, again, it's a little bit earlier tonight. The Yankees first pitch should be around 6:45 down there in D.C. against the Nationals. We'll obviously have coverage right here on the Fan. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan, filling in for BT and Sal. I just got to keep it going, keep the pace going. Brian is in Red Bank on the Fan. You're next, Brian. Go for it.
Hey, Keith. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call. I'll just make a quick point, and I'll just hang up. But I don't think there's enough emphasis being made on these players' egos. It's definitely a factor. Not the only factor, obviously, but definitely a factor. Someone like Soto, he doesn't want to be number two for the next 10 years. I mean, and as long as he's next to Judge, he's going to be number two.
No, he's going to be number one. He's going to make way more money than him. He's going to be number one.
But that's where the ego comes in, you know, the ego of the best player on the team. And to be honest, someone like Soto probably shouldn't be the second best on the team. He probably should be number one, and I don't blame him.
I don't know. It's different in baseball.
He's a generational player, you know?
Because I think we talk a lot about that in basketball, too. Who's the number one scoring option? Who takes the last shot? Yeah. It's different in baseball. These guys know they can't do it alone. They know that they need guys. Judge had to do it alone in 2022. How'd that work out? Soto, like I said, played for the Nationals. He couldn't wait to get out of there. And then he played for the Padres, who had some other star players on the team, but they didn't mesh in the clubhouse. I think he's found it here. I really think he's found it here. And I think that these guys, they're not going to care about the finances. Thanks for the call, Brian. They're not going to be like. There's a certain amount of money you can make in life. I don't know anything about it. I'm assuming there's a certain amount of money that you can make that you can't spend, where it really doesn't matter that one guy is a $400 million man. Think about Judge. I just was watching Judge in a kid's cartoon. How much did they pay Judge for that? It was like Paw Patrol, Rubble Q or something. Judge is like a whole cartoon character. Paw Patrol, right? Dove just told me. That's something my son doesn't watch yet. We're pretty much Elmo household, Sesame Street. A little bit of Miss Rachel, but she started to creep me out. I stopped wanting to see her face on the big screen every day. Bluey, I can get down with. Anyway, Judge, with his Jordan deal, when you see that seafoam green that he wears, that teal blue color, like, I mean, Judge has got a Ralph Lauren polo deal. He's got, like, I don't have to go through all his deals. What I'm saying is he gets money. He's rich forever. He's got more money than he could ever spend. He's not going to be thinking about Juan Soto's pockets. He's not going to be pocket watching Juan Soto. Also, because Juan Soto came out of the DR. I'm sure Judge wants him to get all that money to take care of his family here and his family back home. 888-808-1019. They're not going to be competing like that. They're competing for championships. Iron sharpens iron. Look at the 2 years they're both having together. Their best years ever. They're competitors. And when you ask them about each other, they can't stop gushing over one another. Oh, he's the best hitter on the planet. Oh, he's the best in the world. Nah, this guy, man, he's ridiculous. Pete is in Dover. Pete, you're next up on the Fan. Go for it, buddy.
Yo, Pete, Keith, remember you took my first call ever on the radio and I got booted off for saying the S word. As a Yankee optimist. You remember that?
Yes. I probably hit the dump button. My finger, especially at night, is on that button ready for anybody to slip up. It happens every night.
My little brother was in the car, and we were hyped, and then I got booted off, and it was a funny story.
Watch your mouth around your little brother, man. Watch your mouth.
Yeah, he's 21. I'm 24. Listen, oh, okay. I'm rocking my Aaron Judge jersey. Seafoam, baby. Seafoam. He is the man. We are spoiled.
Yeah.
Everybody listening to this, the Yankee fans are spoiled.
We are.
We are seeing the craziest stuff ever, okay?
Yeah.
And I was an optimist. When I was on the call in, like, June or whatever, I was fluke fishing at the Sandy Hook, coming back. Look, he's going to carry the team. Baseball is a team sport, okay? You see every game, the guys are smiling. The guys are laughing. Jazz Chisholm, right? Ben Wright. Everybody loves each other. This team is solid. They got the team juice. They got what
this
you
is
need
it.
For a championship.
Pete, this is it. This is what this we've been waiting it. For. This is
Everybody
a combination of talent.
Crazy. Yankees is going to the World Series. Tell me.
Thanks for the call, Pete. This is it, bro. The AL is weak this year. This is it, bro. Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. This is it. They have guys coming back. They have guys waiting in the wings. This is it. This is the run. And Yankee fans are spoiled. Like I said, when I was down there in Atlanta, like, it's all in the Braves. It's all in the Braves for everybody from Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee. They don't have any teams down there. So it's all in the Braves to be in the postseason for them. Even with football, we have two football teams. They just have the Falcons. Falcons last year, waste of time. Last couple years, waste of time. Terrible quarterback play. Almost as bad as the Jets quarterback play. Segway there. You know, as we're talking about Saquon Barkley, and we're talking about these quarterbacks being held. It's on the Jets this year. Now I have some football calls popping in, so we'll do Yanks and we'll do football the rest of the way. I'm so excited to see what the Jets look like with Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't need to play in the preseason. They still won that preseason game. Oh, that's right. We're trying to get the preseason game on down in Atlanta, and I wasn't able to, you know, engineer it or MacGyver it to get it on, but I was like, this game isn't worth anything. It was a 10-6 final. But something that did just pop in my mind, again, how Yankee fans are spoiled. I don't know if it's true, but I got two texts and I did see a couple tweets. Did Yankee fans boo Aaron Boone on Old Timers Day? When Aaron Boone was announced, did he get booed? I told you nobody is above it. But how are you going to boo the manager of the team with the best record in the American League? A first place team. Like, it doesn't make any sense. The Bronx cheer is there for anybody that steps on that field. It is ridiculous. They will boo Judge in a year that he hit 62. They booed Judge this year. I was at that game when he went 0-for-4 with four strikeouts. I just don't think they've booed Juan Soto yet. And I guess that's because they're chanting, please stay, Soto. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Please stay listening to this program. This is me filling in for BT and Sal. I've got like a half an hour left. We're going to fly through the calls and the conversation. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely, choose Ramsey Mazda. The Call of the Day is my guy Brian Hoke. If you want to listen to that interview with Brian Hoke from MLB.com covering your New York Yankees, just go back and rewind to 11:30 a.m. on the free Odyssey app. Okay, Keith McPherson on the Fan with less than 30 minutes to take these five calls and sprinkle anything else in. Something I did want to note is for the Yankees to continue this stretch right here. It's just perfect timing, right? The Baltimore Orioles head out to L.A. to face the Dodgers. West Coast swing, 10-10 games. They will play the Dodgers the next three, and the Yankees will play the Nationals the next three. I'm not saying sweep. I'd like to see them sweep. But, man, take two out of three as they lose two out of three and continue to create some room. You know, I was also speaking about some things with the NFL. I was speaking about Saquon Barkley being hurt. Well, it came out today that the Browns' Nick Chubb will start the season on the reserve PUP list. He's going to miss the first four games of the season. I always look at Chubb in his season last year as we're getting close to fantasy football. I've said this on air. I just was saying it over the weekend. I will forever regret taking him with the number two overall pick when I could have taken Christian McCaffrey, but Christian McCaffrey had burned me years ago with the Panthers. And so I was thinking, this guy's always hurt. I'm not drafting a number two. I'm going to go with Nick Chubb. Stupid. That one decision lost me my league. So choose wisely. Read up on your guys. If you can get Garrett Wilson, go get Garrett Wilson. Let's get back to the phones. Francisco is in Waldwick, New Jersey. You're on the Fan. What's up, man?
Hey, Keith. How are you?
I'm good. Good to be filling in for BT and Sal. It's crazy to think that my shift is done at 2 p.m. and not 2 a.m.
Crazy. I'm actually a big fan. I listen to you guys all the time. And I'm a big Yankees fan, not to mention a diehard Giants fan. I play football, actually.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in, man. What you got?
So I think what it comes out down to with all players, and including Saquon, is the mindset.
Oh, yeah, I've said that. I don't think Saquon is a villain. I don't think he's going to wear it well. I don't think that he's going to go down there and take on that villain role. Like, he doesn't want to be hated. I did listen to the podcast. Thanks for the call, Francisco. Appreciate you checking in with us. I did listen to the podcast with Diana Russini. I think they called it Scoop City. They should have worked on that name a little bit better, but it's still a good podcast. Chase Daniel, Diana Russini, they get scoops. And his logic for, you know, going to the Eagles, it was pretty much everything was better for him to go to the Eagles, except he was going to get hated on online and fans are going to hate him forever. I'm like, well, your legacy is tarnished. Once a Giant, not always a Giant. And depending on what you do with the Eagles, like, we'll see. But, the, you know, the internet hate is what it is. He said it was a better, you know, contract, obviously, money-wise, better roster, a chance to win. Better for his family, his wife being from Pennsylvania, him going to Penn State, all this other stuff. But yeah, other than that, I have all Yankee calls. If you guys want to add to any of the football conversation, we will. But I think tomorrow I'll lean more on the Jets and the Giants and my thoughts and takes. I think it's going to be a rough year for the Giants. I think they have trouble in their secondary. I think a lot of hype around Malik Nabers was made so quickly and manufactured so quickly off of practice, and I think we're going to get to see how hard it is for a rookie wide receiver to come in and just dominate a defense with Daniel Jones as his quarterback. We'll get to it tomorrow, but I am super excited to see this Jets defense, which has been called elite the last 3 years, and now this Jets offense with Aaron Rodgers, with Tyrod Taylor backing him up, with year three of Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, not just coming off an ACL, a new worked offensive line with some guys on the offensive line that if they're healthy, you can trust them. And Alan Lazard's got to bounce back. And Xavier Gibson will take a step forward. And they've got other guys out there like Tyler Conklin and Malachi Corley and Mike Williams, where I think the Jets are going to be ready to roll and compete at the top of the league this year. The Giants, they're right back to, you know, a rebuild. I think they could potentially have as many wins as they had last year, but it's going to be rough. 888-808-1019. Let's see. I was asking about Old Timers Day. Maybe Joe was there. I don't know. Maybe he was listening. I missed it. Joe and Howard Beach, were you at Old Timers Day? Did they boo Aaron Boone?
No, I wasn't there, Pete. My question to you is, why didn't Brett Gardner show up? He must have a bad taste in his mouth.
Oh, I talked all about that. I mean, the way that his Yankee tenure ended. Thanks for the call, Joe. I talked all about that, I think, Thursday night, because it's just not a good look for the organization. Gardy was a guy that we loved. When you have a Jorge Posada come in and say that they need a little attitude, they need a little fight, a little want to, that's what Brett Gardner was. I said there's a curse of Brett Gardner in left field. Haven't been able to find a guy in left field. Verdugo had it for maybe a couple months. Gave you flashes of Guardy. I love that Aaron Judge flexes during the roll call. That's the Guardy flex. He's keeping Guardy's name alive. Guardy was such a good clubhouse guy, but they kind of just wrote him off. And I know he was getting up there in age. And from what I had read, his son plays high school football. He was going to a high school football game. I think it was his birthday over the weekend. He was not coming to Yankee Stadium for Old Timers Day, which is crazy because CC Sabathia talks about how you get this group together and guys are telling stories and it's a lifelong bond that will never be broken. And, man, they won a championship together. You know, I just went down for a reunion for the MLB Fan Cave. We didn't play. We watched 2,430 Major League Baseball games together. We have a ridiculous bond. When we get together, we're telling stories. They're bringing up names and things that I forgot about from 10 years ago. So I felt bad for Brett Gardner. He didn't get the proper send-off. And now he's down in South Carolina off the grid. And, yeah, he's missing out on being celebrated. He deserves a celebration. He deserves a send-off. And the way that it ended with the Yankees, he definitely has a bad taste in his mouth. Up in the Bronx, let's go to Matt before we get out of here. Matt, you got it.
Keith, what up? So just before I get to my other Yankees point, I watched the entire broadcast of the Old Timers Day. There were a smattering of boos. It wasn't overwhelming on Aaron Boone, but there were.
Somebody told me they were chanting, Boone. It wasn't a boo. It was a boo.
Nah. Those were boos. Those were boos. I heard them. We had Lou for Lou Piniella, but those are boos for my man, Booney.
It doesn't make any sense. You can't boo a guy whose team is in first place with the best record in the league. What else do you want? What are you looking for?
I get it. But speaking of this team in first place, there's one particular player that the minute this man gets hot next season, they got to trade him. And I'm going to be the first Yankee fan, and I know it's probably a little bit controversial, but when Anthony Volpe gets hot next season, this man is never going to be more than a nice kid with a batting average of .240. So if he gets hot next season, ship him off.
Nah, they're definitely not doing that. He's got immunity. Well, he's untouchable. You know what I'm saying? Like he didn't get sent down last year at all. They moved him around the leadoff. Even now when he's struggling, we're asking for him to get a day off. They didn't give him a day off. They're letting him develop on the fly. They're letting him work. They don't believe you, Matt. They said in 10 years he's going to be an all-star leadoff
hitter. Seasons now. We have almost two full seasons now of a kid that when he hits well, it's for 2 weeks, and when he's slumping, it's for 3 months. I'm not sure what else we can say about this kid.
Nice guy,
but he'll never bat more than .240.
He's doing it for the Yankees. He's a local kid, grew up rooting for the team, and he's compared to the guys he was drafted with, Gunnar Henderson and Bobby Witt Jr. Those guys are a different level than he's been able to even kind of sniff. I don't think they're going to trade Volpe, though. He was the guy that they held. They passed on trades. They passed on signing free agent shortstops like Corey Seager. For Anthony Volpe, they're not going to give up on him next year.
The league has a plethora of light-hitting infielders. We can find one that will do just as good as Anthony Volpe with re-signing Soto next year.
All right, Matt, you get credit if they trade him, if they move on from him next year. Matt from the Bronx was the first one to say it on The Fan in New York. Damn. I'm not on that. Hashtag H11M. I call him ones. I think he's got it. I just think that it's not as easy as people think. I think that he didn't have the same development. I'm not making excuses for him anymore, but if Anthony Volpe has a good postseason, we won't care about the struggles of the regular season.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw in third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer as a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fans.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, good times. I don't think I've done the midday since the Dodgers series, so that was like first weekend in June. I remember Juan Soto had the MRI, and we were, myself and C-Mac were on. We were filling in for BT and Sal, and we were hoping that Juan Soto maybe played, and then they didn't even put him in the entire series. Yeah, that started the gauntlet of June and the downturn for the Yankees taking Juan Soto out of that series. But anyway, Keith McPherson on The Fan filling in for BT and Sal. We'll do this again tomorrow. We'll see what the Yankees do tonight. The Mets are off. We'll see what happens in the NFL. And I just saw Sterling Shepard, former Giant, has been released by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They thought he would catch on potentially with his former college quarterback in Baker Mayfield. They let him go. So cuts are happening in the NFL. There will be some cuts to talk about tomorrow. There will be some roster talk to talk about tomorrow. So maybe we'll lean football a little bit for tomorrow's show. Let me take the rest of my Yankee calls before we get out of here. Let's go to Dave in Islip on the Fan. What's up, Dave?
What's up, Keith? I was at the game both Saturday and Sunday, and there were definitely some chants for Boone, but there were some boos mixed in. But
okay.
The thing that caught me was the biggest diss to Boone was, I believe it was Johnny Damon. It might have been Nick Swisher, who was complimenting Joe Girardi, and he said, "I don't understand why you're still not mad."
I heard that too. Yeah, that was like kind of like a slight at Aaron Boone. Like, you're the best in the game. Well, yeah, we understand Boone took his job with no prior experience and that he took a team to game 7 of the ALCS, and Boone hasn't been able to do that. Thanks for the call, Dave, and clearing that up. I saw some people online as well saying they were chanting Boone. They were chanting Boone. But it's always a mob mentality, monkey see, monkey do, a lot of followers in the stadium. Oh, it's a chance to boo? I was talking about that as well. I'm like, as much as I talk about people booing, there's definitely some fans that are just, oh, I'm going there to boo the first guy that I can boo. Who knows? Might be some Mets fans in Yankee Stadium like, boo, boo Aaron Boone, boo Judge, boo Soto. Alan is in Freehold, New Jersey on the Fan. Hello, Alan.
Hi, Keith. A pleasure. You're ultimately a great talent, and you respect the listeners, and you're a great family man. But now my Yankee points. Number one, did you hear the post-game with Soto yesterday? Because the crowd was yelling, sign him, sign him.
Please stay, Soto. Yeah.
Right. But there were three words he said, though, because they kept grilling him. And Soto said, well, you have to talk to Cashman. You have to talk to Cashman. And that tells you right there, Keith.
Yeah.
And I know the laughing and the Mega Millions and everything like that, but that tells me a lot. But the other point I want to make, why the Yankees will win the World Series. This is different from all the other years. Houston, yes, they have always stopped us, but they had starting pitching to stop us. Keith, they don't have it this year. Nobody in baseball, including the Dodgers, especially the Dodgers, has a pitching staff to stop our hitters.
Right.
And that is a big difference. Throw out the previous failures. We have the most of everything. We got some pitching. We have very good hitting in pockets, but that is the biggest difference, Keith. And forget about where Soto goes next year. Everybody should focus on we will win. We will win because there's no pitching staff that will stop the Yankees. What do you think?
You're right on. I said it's all coming together. This is going to be a September to remember because they're going to add guys. Fingers crossed, pray for health, that they stay healthy. It's all right in front of them, like Aaron Boone said. Like, now this is it. It's the final countdown. These are the last of days and series and weeks and months. Finish the job. Get there. Get back to the World Series. You have the lineup. You have enough pitching. You have the home crowd behind you. You have home field advantage if you get the number one seed in the American League and win the East. It's right there. It's right there. And I mean, I don't know. I don't see why they don't do that. I think that they have a great shot at doing that. If not now, then when? When? James in North Arlington, how are you? You're back on the Fan.
Oh, thanks for calling on me. I want to tell you, you were definitely fabulous at FanFest. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to say hi to you, but
I was going to say, I don't remember running into you at Fanatics Fest.
I'm not covering the Tyson event. Did you get to see Tyson?
No, I saw Jake Paul, though. I didn't see Tyson. I saw Jake Paul walking over there. That was crazy.
Yeah, he put on some show, but that's a whole other story. But your booth was fabulous. Just real quick, a quick shout-out to Florida, Little League World Series champs. I think it's pretty cool that when you watch the game against Staten Island, you can sort of see that Florida did not get rattled. There was something about them, and here we are talking about Major League Baseball, and I think we could make a little bit. I know it's a lot different, Little League and Major Leagues, but you can really see that that Florida team, when they were down, they had a lot of confidence, and sometimes we have to, even though they're Major Leaguers, it's very important that the coach, and you know this because obviously you played college sports, you got to have confidence that you can win. I don't care how good you are. I mean, even you look back at Mano and Maris and Ruth and Gehrig, and now, of course, you got Soto and Judge. But you also have other guys on the team. those other players have to be able to show that they have confidence to win. I mean,
thanks for the call, James. You're 100% correct. I always say your thoughts become things. If you think you're going to lose, you're going to lose. If you think you're going to win, you're going to win, especially the New York Yankees and the coverage that's going to be on that and how much hype there's going to be and other teams, right? And we're running out of time. Other teams used to fear the Yankees of old. I listened to Tom Verducci and Sweeney Murdy talk about how, you know, in the 90s, even when teams took a lead, they knew that lead wasn't safe, that they were going to eventually lose to the Yankees. And if it got to the, you know, like, they have to believe and they have to carry themselves with the confidence and swagger that they have the best players on the field to get it done. Bobby's in Clifton, New Jersey. Bobby, you're on the Fan.
Keith, so I just wanted to talk to you about, you know, when the Yankees were great, and you've been a Yankee fan for so long, the one thing that did carry a Jeter and really separate a Judge was the great pitching. I see that as the biggest obstacle for the Yankees moving forward. There is no Pettit. There is no CC. There is no Roger Clemens.
Garrett Cole, you can count Garrett Cole. Garrett Cole is the reigning Cy Young winner. He's postseason proven as well.
True. You have one of those guys. But when the Yankees were great, you had four of those guys, plus a great bullpen.
Nobody else has four of those guys
anymore. When they had, when they did bring on a guy similar to Soto in A-Rod, it only afforded them one more championship, right? Because I believe it's the money that hurts you more than anything.
Thanks for the call, Bobby. I just disagree. I just think baseball is different now, especially if we're even going back to 2009 and bringing on an A-Rod and the construction of that team. I think they've got enough pitching to get by. I think anyone they're facing, like, pitchers have been hurt across the league. I think they have more than enough to get it done when you have a lineup that has Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, and a bunch of other guys that can come through. Last call goes to Tommy in West Babylon. Go for it, Tommy.
Keith, how are you, buddy? How's everything?
Great. Thanks, man.
Good. So looking at this Yankees team, I think one of our weaknesses is the bullpen, particularly the closer role. What do you think about moving Luis Gil to the closer role once Clark Schmidt gets back? If you take the Yankees in a short series, division playoffs, they could walk Judge and Soto and see what Stanton in the bottom of the lineup can do to them. If we don't have a closer, we're really not built to win a one-run, two-run game. We have to bludgeon you and hope you don't win. What are your thoughts about moving Luis Gil to the closer role?
I can't trust Luis Gil right now. Thanks for the call, Tommy. He's hurt. I don't know what he's going to be when he comes back. He hasn't been good the last month that he was here. He walks too many guys to be my closer. I know in theory, the strikeouts, people think he's going to be the, you know, swing and miss guy. I can't trust a rookie pitcher that now has pitched more than he's ever pitched. He's got back issues. I can't say that he's going to be able to do the job, which is a hard job to come in and get those last three outs. I can't say that that's my closer. Clay Holmes is our closer. I called him Pray Holmes. When he comes in, all you can do is pray. He hasn't lost us a game in the last couple games. He's going to be fine. They need to do closer by committee and not be stuck with Clay. I say if it's a one or two run lead, maybe not Clay, but whatever. I think Clay is good enough and they have the guys to get it done in the bullpen as well as the lineup. They got to get it done. All right, that's it. That was fast. That flew by. We'll do this again tomorrow. Shout out to BT and Sal letting me fill in for them. Dove behind the glass. Obviously, Hoff behind the glass. And everybody on Twitch in the Twitch chat, I see you. I appreciate the love. Coming up next, it's Evan and Tiki, but really it's Evan and Sean. And then Tommy Lugauer as well. Yeah, stay tuned for the afternoon drive. I'll be back tomorrow. Let's go Yanks tonight. Keith McPherson, KM to AM, AM, KM. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.